It's a series on grace and favor. And if I remember correctly, I have not really taught a full series on grace and favor since the beginning of my ministry. I did touch on it here and there, and there's a series on grace and from the New Testament side of the word grace and what it means, the word charis. But I have not really touched on grace and favor as we understand it from our normal usage of grace and favor. So this morning we're going to look into grace and favor, and we're going to ask God's guidance as we go through this series. And one of the reasons for this series is that sometimes a lot impress different things at different times. And in January 1986, the Lord appeared to me and showed me His face and taught me about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which I have placed into a book, some of those things that He has mentioned. And within those first 6 months to 12 months, a lot of things began to take place that open a way for that ministry to slowly come forth. And as you already know, on May the 10th this year, 2004, the Lord did not show me His face, but He showed me His hands. And I saw the nail pierced hands. And where the nail pierced His hands, for a supernatural reason, God kept the mark of the nails. Now remember, when Jesus was risen from the dead, God could have completely healed the wounds. Correct. If a person die of a sickness or die of losing their arm or head or finger, when they are resurrected, they have a new one in a new body. If you have a cut or wound or any area of your body, when you are raised up again from the dead, you're going to have a perfect body without a scar. So one of the things that I asked God is when that visitation came, that I never thought of it before. I mean, we always read about it in the Bible, the nail-pierced hands in the Gospel of John. But after that visitation, it suddenly occurred to me, why didn't God remove the wounds and have a perfect Jesus without any of those wounds? Instead, they are preserved for the rest of eternity. Even right now, the Lord Jesus stands at the right hand of God and He has all the marks of bearing the cross for you and I. Because the Lord gave me three reasons. One of them was that whatever He did was so important that for the rest of eternity, He never wants us to forget. Every time you look at the second person of the Godhead, you see why you are there and how you can be there. Can you imagine God Almighty, Jesus the Godhead, bearing upon Himself eternity upon eternity? Billions of years, you know how long eternity is, without end. The marks of the day He came to planet Earth and save every one of us. That was one of the reasons. One day we'll teach on those reasons, but today we're going to cover grace and favor, because in the message that He imparted to me, He says He imparted the anointing of prosperity likened unto Joseph when he received an anointing and became the head over all of Egypt after Pharaoh. So there is an anointing for prosperity. And God reveals some of the things that He wants to do in these last days. You can't even imagine it. The church of Jesus Christ will literally be the head and not the tail in the economic world. I'm sure you all remember and read in the book of Revelations that the Antichrist one day is going to control all the wealth, and nobody can buy and sell unless they have the mark of the beast. Well, before he controls it, the church controls it. Hallelujah! The church controls it first. And in 2,000 years of church history, we have not seen that taken place yet. And the last day church is going to do that. Which is why at the same time, the last day church also has a warning. The reason why we are likened to the church in Laodicea is because there is so much wealth in the church that people forget that the spiritual things are much more important than natural things. And people forget that wealth is given to establish His covenant. And that's why there is a danger of the Laodicean church. We haven't reached the fullness of the Laodicean church yet, where people even struggle with keeping their wealth. People are still struggling to get the wealth. But if you live right, walk right, God in these last days is going to restore grace and favor, which will result in great wealth that will bring about the gospel of Jesus Christ moving in dimensions that has never moved before. Like King David, there will be wealth stored up to build the house of God, to establish 24-hour praise and worship. Amen. So because of that, we are on this series on grace and favor. So let's look at some of our texts that we're going to take this teaching from. First of all, we look at the book of Ephesians, and we turn to that, and then we will offer to God a prayer to ask Him for guidance as we look into this interesting little series. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to verse 10. And let's go to God in prayer before we read this. Father, with every revelation that You give, and with every impartation that You give, there's a time and a season for it. And we ask, O Father God, that in this time, as we begin to share some of the things that You have hidden from the ages before, that You will grant unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we truly would know, because our eyes are open, eyes of understanding opened by Your Spirit, that we truly would know the hope of Your calling, the riches of Your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us who believe. And we ask, O Father, for whatever things that You desire to impart through this series, that those who hear these words in whatever form will receive a measure of that anointing that You have imparted, that they would, Father, be emboldened and anointed and empowered to stand up in the grace of God, to walk in the works that You have prepared for them. Let Your word prevail mightily, and let there be great understanding. And most of all, let there be faithfulness and humility. As we handle these things that make us responsible, for with much that is given, much is required of us. And we ask that you help us to be faithful and a faithful steward to all that you give. So establish it, God, in our midst, and let the will of God and the kingdom of God be a standard. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to verse 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, I like that, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us sit together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in this age and in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now pay close attention to verse 7. It says, in the ages to come. Now Paul, in writing this one, talk about future ages. It began in the time of Pentecost, but it goes on and on, and it says, in the ages to come. And for a moment of time, he was peering into the future. And it's not just talking about after we go back to heaven. Because after you go back to heaven, you don't have the enemy and devils or demon powers in which to triumph over. But Paul, for a moment of time, was given a glimpse of the last day church. He was given a glimpse of the glorious bride of Jesus Christ, who has finally come to maturity, and who is anointed and grown spiritually, grown in their souls, and grown in the physical measure to which God desires, as he espouses in Ephesians chapter 4, how that the church of God will grow into the fullness of Christ, to the ministry of the fivefold. Here in verse 6, verse 6 and 7, especially verse 7, say, in the ages to come, he might show. See, in the ages to come, he wants to show to all around the exceeding, not just the riches, not just the riches, but the exceeding. In fact, that word exceeding is found several times in this epistle. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What a powerful, powerful scripture.